When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
So, Miracle.
Yes.
Where's Anna?
So, Anna's actually on vacation, and so we're getting to take the reins a little bit, and we're kind of running a show ourselves, you know?
Ooh, they better watch out. We're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So Cece, I know that you had like a recent update and you sent a voice memo over to Anna.
Yeah.
And I got to hear it. And I think everybody else needs to hear it as well.
Hey, Anna. Sending you an update on what's been going on this summer. I'm talking to someone and I'm actually really excited about it. We were supposed to meet up Sunday, but we're kind of so excited to meet each other because it's just like the last little thing that we're thinking about meeting up tomorrow. And he's really nice. I'm excited. I don't normally get excited.
Okay, so the first date went really good, and then we were supposed to meet up, and then he didn't show up.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, we had been talking for like, three weeks by then. And I was like, at first I was mad. Like, how dare you stand me up? But then after a while, I started thinking and I was like, he would never stand me up. That's not like he would call me to tell me he can't call me. So then I started freaking out. I started to get worried. Coming to find out, I was totally right. He got in a car accident.
Oh, gosh.
He's okay now. And so we went out again, and then we're, like, together now.
Wow. And how long have you been seeing this guy?
I have been seeing him for about a week and a half now, but we've been talking nonstop for 3 weeks.
Okay, and how did you meet? You met, was it on, because I know you're using different dating apps,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish.
Yeah.
Okay, mental note, maybe I should add that.
So, like, what's been going on since the last time? I know you saw a teacher, and then you matched with someone, and then the teacher made out with your match.
Yeah, that definitely happened. So that occurred, and I was like, wow, so I'm just going to, like, set this down here, not look at my phone for, like, a week. But I have been messaging this one guy, and it's actually been going pretty well, like, I thought it was being really lame, and he's just kind of going along with it. And so I guess we'll see what happens. This literally just happened, like, started yesterday. We started messaging each other.
Okay.
So just trying to keep the conversation going, and I guess, like, making that first move to see, like, okay, like, can we hang out? Will this be a thing?
Yeah.
So just still testing the waters.
Do you feel like there's pressure to find, like, the one, the guy for you?
Oh, so, like, Yes and no. Like, so there's a part of me that, you know, I guess like among my like young professional friends, it's, you know, oh, like, you know, it's no big deal. Like, we enjoy ourselves now. Like, it'll naturally happen. But then there's also, I think, just part of the culture that I'm in. I don't know, to say the culture of the South. There definitely is a like feeling of there's a completion when you have that person. There's a completion when you take that next step and, you know, you're having that family. And I think for people like me who aren't necessarily rushing to find that or rushing to have that, you're kind of looked at as like a crazy person, I guess.
Do you feel incomplete without this part?
No, I don't feel complete, but I do feel like it will be a season of life for me that will come eventually. I feel like right now I'm at this point where I'm just wanting to know myself more. So I don't think I have that feeling anymore. I think I've been there. But, you know, the past three guys I've dated, they're all married now. And so, you know, I've gone through that. I've gone through like my pity parties of like, okay, like, I thought that was like, that was going to be it, the end step. But then like, when I reflect on those relationships, like, I'm glad I wasn't the bride. Like, I'm so thankful. And so, you know, it makes me realize that I don't know, I just feel fulfilled, like where I am now and being who I am as my own person. And I don't want to be in a situation where I'm too reliant on someone for my happiness. And I'm afraid I probably did that in the past and just don't want to do that the next thing, you know?
Yes. Yes, my little Jedi. That's it exactly. You know, I have the same answer. Yes and no. I realize I live a pretty good life. I have a good job that I love. I have a nice home. I don't have a lot of debt. I get to work and do things that I like.
Yes.
This will be one more nice thing to have, but it won't be the thing that defines me. But you're right. I mean, that societal pressure, it's always there. I got parents just like you. They think they're slick. They've been putting in little nudges. Oh, where's my grandbaby? My mom is always like, I need a grandbaby. And I tell her, you better take these grandcats.
Same thing, you know?
Oh, okay. So I forgot to tell you my experiment. So I decided after listening to the episode that you did with the Tinder, was it a Tinder specialist? I think they were Tinder. They were an online dating specialist in these things. I decided I'm going to try to game the system a little bit. Every other day, I'll go into my account, into my profile, and I'll change something small. Like, I'll make a capital, a little g into a capital G, or I'll add a question, or like I'll spell check something. I'll even like delete a word and then put a new word in and then resave that. And that has given me like a ton more hits. The other thing that I changed was my ethnicity. I had mixed before and I decided to change my ethnicity to Hispanic. Like, let's see how that goes over. That went over like gangbusters. I've seen such a surge in responses. And I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that.
So I thought it was really interesting when you made this comment about the fact that like you like changed like your ethnicity.
Oh, like, yeah.
On
my
your
experiment.
Profile.
Yeah.
And then you said you were getting like more interactions because of that.
Yep.
Okay, explain that to me. So, like, the people that started to approach you, were they different ethnicities? Or, like, was it just, like, in general, just more men? Or, like, how did you feel about that?
Okay, so, you know, I'm Puerto Rican and I'm African American. And I always put that I'm mixed. I didn't even change it for a solid 5 minutes. And every Latino, Black, or white guy, like, in a 50-mile radius, was texting me. It was so weird because it was like it's one little tweak. What difference does that one little tweak make? But it made a huge difference.
Yeah. And see, and that, so because when I heard that, I just like, I don't know if it's because of the area I'm in North Alabama, and like I attract so many older white men, which absolutely not that like that's the a problem. Area you're in. It's just shocking because I'm like, how do you see me? First of all, I feel like I look young for my age, so that's kind of weird. But then it's just like, I don't understand like how they see me and I guess assume there's some kind of like connection there. And this isn't even like through like online dating apps. This is just like strictly if I'm out in public and a man's going to approach me, he's probably going to be an older white guy. Like, order, do I have other options?
Are you, so like, other than, I know you're using Bumble. Mm-hmm. Are you using any other apps?
No, I have not. And I'm kind of thinking about it. I get so frustrated because like, I'm like, I guess my thing is this like the only option we have nowadays, like in 2018? I'm like, what happened to like just being out and like meeting people, you know, doing things that I like to do and finding somebody who likes to do those same things. And I feel like that's not an option anymore. But yeah, we'll see. Any suggestions? So like your man you have now, like where did y'all go for your first date?
We went to an ice cream shop. There's a very popular ice cream shop here in Sacramento called Leatherby's. And we went to an ice cream shop. It's a little different from what I usually do. I usually do coffee, but you know, I think we are working and we're together because nothing about this has been usual. And we click very well. Like, you know, when you hear someone be like, oh, we just like fell in love. It was just perfect. Like right off the bat. It's kind of that where like, it never felt weird. It never felt awkward. We're still, you know, we're clearly still in the process of learning each other, but it's almost like, oh yeah. Like, oh, we've been together 20 years. It's no big deal.
See, and to have that, like, you're a success story, you know?
Aww. If it makes you feel any better, I'm the hottest of messes.
Oh. Girl, who are you telling? Like, I feel the exact same way. And I found him because
he's a hot mess. And we just a mess together.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I want to thank you for listening and for all your support as we at Death, Sex, and Money have made our move to Slate. Your stories, voice memos, and emails have meant so much to the team. As part of this transition, there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something special in return. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the other great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Decoder Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/DSM Plus to get access wherever you listen. Thanks.